I want to conclude by really quickly going through the life of one person who God commended very highly. Turn to the 2 Chronicles chapter 34. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we come across one of the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel after David. David's son ruled in Israel, Solomon. And after Solomon, Solomon's next son who was ruling Israel, he caused a conflict and the nation of Israel divided. They were divided into two separate nations. One of them had the 10 tribes and the other one had two tribes. So the two tribes were Judah and Benjamin, while the rest, the other 10 tribes, just were a different country on themselves. So in the Old Testament, you'll find that the 10 tribes are referred to as Israel and the two tribes are just referred to as Judah. This king that we're going to look at was Josiah, and he became king and reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. And this guy, he was 8 years old when he started to reign. And he was 17th in line after David. So this was the 17th generation. Let me start with verse 2. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the way of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. So this is an introduction to Josiah. He followed the ways of his father David. Left, right, no, he just kept to David's way. So it says in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek God. That was when he was 16. Okay, 8 plus 8 is 16. He began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, when he was 20, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. So what has happened was the nation, the Judah and Benjamin, had really turned to idol worship. And they had different places and different altars and different equipments that they used from the surrounding nations, and they used it for idol worship. And he took it upon himself when he was 20 years old, younger than many of you, I can say here, did very, very well in taking, ridding the nation of idol worship. And in verse 8, he went one step further, and it says, in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Joseph, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. So he went one step further. He did not just want to get rid of idol worship from the country. Okay, he did not just want to rid his life and the life of his nation from what was wrong in the sight of God, but he took it upon himself to build, to restore the temple. And the Bible tells us that the kings before him had actually left it to ruin. This was the first king in many generations that actually made it a point to restore the temple for worship. And this is what happened. So they, verse 11, they also gave money to the carpenters and builders to purchase dressed stone and timber for joists and beams for the building that the kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. The others had allowed to fall into ruin. So as we continue, we see that verse 14, follow with me, verse 14, we're going to come to the climax of this. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. So as they were repairing this place, as they were bringing out the money that was already in the temple for the restoration of the temple, they come across this book of the law of Moses. Imagine, it was totally neglected. It was totally forgotten. They didn't even know it was there, and they found it. And then they bring it to the king. Verse 19, I'm jumping so that we can have exactly where I want us to go. When the king heard the words of the law, they brought it in front of him. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. He was totally devastated. He was totally heartbroken when he heard the words of the law. It's a wonderful story that you should read in your own time. He now is in that place where his heart is totally broken because he reads in the words of the law what God has said to the nation and what would happen to the nation as a result of their obedience. And now he says, we need to hear God's mind on this. We need to know where we are at, you know, regarding this. This is the book of the law. This is the law of Moses. We need to know where we're at, he says. And what he does is that he actually sends people to a prophetess in Judah, in Jerusalem, to actually inquire of the Lord. And as they did that, she said to them in verse 23, she said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, that is the king Josiah, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, all the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah. First thing I want you to note is that she's confirming that the book is correct. And whenever you come against, you know, with prophecy, prophecy generally has to confirm the truth which is already revealed in Scripture. That is the nature of true prophecy. True prophecy does not deviate from Scripture. Scripture is where it is rooted in. And this prophet, she says, the first thing she said is, yes, she confirmed it. She affirmed that, yes, yes, disaster is going to come upon the nation of Judah and Israel, as it is written in that book that you found. It's already there. This is why God's word is important. This is why we need to really get to grips with it. This is why we need to know the ins and outs. This is why we need to understand that God is calling us to his word and to a deeper engagement with it. In verse 27, she has a personal prophecy for the king as well. Because she says to, this is what God is saying through her, your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people. And because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your ancestors and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see the disaster I am going to bring on this place and those who live here. God is saying, I'm going to spare you. I'm going to spare you the misery of seeing the downfall of this nation. Why? Because your heart was responsive. And that is how much God appreciates and loves hearts that are responsive to him. God was pleased at the state of Josiah's heart, which he describes as tender. It was responsive. It was receptive. It wasn't hard. It wasn't callous. It wasn't non-responsive. God loved that. He just rejoiced at finding at least one person whose heart was responsive. One person whose heart was tender. And God told him, I'm not going to bring the disaster while you are king. I'm going to spare you the misery of seeing the downfall of this nation. It's going to come down. Down it must come. There's no way God is going to change his mind because his word had already affirmed it. It was already written in the book of the law. And they knew it. They understood it. And God said, that's going to come. But as for you, because of what you do, because God made it absolutely clear, it was because he humbled himself upon hearing God's word. He humbled himself. He was not haughty, he was not resistant, he was not like a brick wall, but he actually was struck by the severity of the content that he read in the book. He chose not to look down on it in contempt, but accept God's word, and he just tore his robes, the Bible says, as a sign of humility and sadness at what he read and was read to him from the book. And what's amazing, as I finish, is that Josiah's response did not end there. There are some beautiful lessons to be learned from Josiah as a leader of a nation. Josiah received this prophecy, but he did not fixate himself to that personal prophecy and said, well, I'm not going to bother anymore. I'm not going to see the misery. I'm not going to see the downfall of this nation. No. His response did not end there. He was not content with God's promise to him personally, but he proceeded to make amends, to correct what was skewed in the country. So what he was not unduly focused and concentrated on the personal prophecy that came to him. And that's what we need to understand. When God speaks to us personally, it's good. We need to take it on board. And sometimes, as Scripture says, we need to fight the good fight with that prophecy that God brings into our lives. But he was not overtly fixated and unduly focused on that personal prophecy that he was not doing what he needed to do as the leader of the nation. It's amazing that God and nation were at the heart of this leader's concern and not himself. The God and his nation. So he not only made a public covenant before the Lord. We can continue the story. You can read it for yourself. He not only made a public, he made a covenant with the Lord. The Bible says that before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep all his commands and testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. He made a public covenant before the people. And you know what he also did? He actually says, then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. He just carried them with him. He said, no, we just need to continue. Even though the downfall is coming, even though God is angry, even though he has said that this would certainly happen, he was still concerned about pleasing God, about doing what God had called him to do. He went on, but to reinstate the Passover, which had not been celebrated for many years. And In fact, the Bible says that it had never been celebrated before since the time of Samuel. Even in this time of his father David, the Passover was not celebrated like that. This was a just amazing guy. Amazing guy. And what I want to just draw from this person's life is the fact that God really takes joy when we respond to his voice into our lives. Let's not take it casually. Let's not take it lightly. When God is speaking to us as his people, let's be serious. Let's get stuck into what God is instructing us to get stuck into. Let's make use of this time and this season that God has given us, because God works in times and in seasons, friends. He doesn't want us to miss the times and the seasons that he is working in a particular way in our lives. And this is the time that God is calling all of us, all of you, to a deeper engagement with him through his word. And as I said, all the hashtags and all the abbreviations that we use, they are simply reminders. It's not a game that we're playing, but just using them as reminders for us to actually get stuck into God's word. Help us respond to God. Be receptive to him in what he has called us to do. Let us pray. If you haven't taken action on this point of engaging with God on a deeper level through his word, through making time, structuring yourself around studying and meditating on God's word on a deeper level than before, you are being called by God to do that, to take action. God is speaking to you, and it's for you now to take action in that respect in your life. And God said, as we read in the life of Josiah, that because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this people and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. How soft is your heart? How tender is your heart? So there are two things I want us to think of. If you haven't taken action already in making sure that you are engaging with God on a deeper level, not just sailing on with a 10 or 15 minute devotion every day, but taking time to meditate on his word, taking time to study his word. If you haven't taken that step yet, if you haven't decided, this is God calling you to do that, to take that decision, to take that step. And on a second level, I want to just ask as well, how tender is your heart when God speaks? Whether it's personally, in your own time when you're reading and studying his word, or, you know, in times of corporate worship, corporate meetings that we have in cells and also in Wednesday meetings, how tender is your heart? How responsive and receptive are you to God's word? Let's ask God to give us the grace and the humility like Josiah had, so that we too can really be broken when God speaks to us, that our hearts are totally tender and receptive to his word and to his voice to us, whatever it may be and whenever and however it may come. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray for yourself right now, just that you would have that heart, that heart would not elude you, that your heart would not be a callous and non-responsive heart, but a heart that God loves and a heart that God rejoices in, that is responsive to him, that is receptive to what he has to say. Just knock on heaven's door. Ask God for the grace. Ask God to soften your heart. Ask God to really work on your heart, to make it soft, to make it tender. Tender basically means like it's responsive. It's not hard, but it gives a response. Have a responsive heart. So if there's any desire in you to have a heart like that, that God loves and God rejoices in, if there's any desire in you, if you really, genuinely, sincerely want a heart like Josiah's, where God said, because you heard, God said, because you humbled yourself, because your heart was tender, if you want a heart like that, that God responds to himself, that God rejoices in, I'm going to ask you to just stand where you are, and we're going to pray for all of us.
Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a God who engages with his people. Father, we thank you that you are a God who communicates with your creation, Lord. You are a God who wants relationship with us, Lord, from the very first day that you've created the universe, Lord. We've seen through your word that you are a God who communicates, a God who engages, a God who wants to draw near. And Lord, you've made a way for that to happen as well, Lord God. Lord, may not be like the times, Lord God, of Eli, Lord God, where it's said in your word that the word of the Lord was rare. There was no frequent vision. Father, we pray that this would be a time, Father God, that we would be able to hear your voice, Lord God. That the word of the Lord would be frequent, Lord God. Lord, that we would be able to hear from you, O God, as a people and individually. Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. As you speak, Lord, that we would be as Josiah was, Lord God, tender. And he humbled himself, Lord God. His heart was responsive to you. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we wouldn't just desire to hear from you. We wouldn't desire just to hear, Lord God, what you have to say. We wouldn't desire to see any kind of visions from you, Lord God. But instead, not just that, but Lord, that we would have the desire to put into practice, Lord God, the very things that you tell us to do, Lord God, the very things, the ways that you want us to live, Lord God, that we would put it into practice, Lord God. I pray we would humble ourselves before you, Lord God, that we would hear your voice, Lord God, and act upon it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, Lord, that in our hearts, that it would be in our minds, that, you know, whatever it takes, whatever it might mean, whatever the cost, we would be ready to hear you and ready to do what you have to say to us, Lord God. Lord, let us have that kind of mindset, Lord God, to say, God, whatever the cost, whatever it may cost me, I'm willing to do what it is you have for me and what you want me to do, Lord God. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to obey you. Father, I pray you help us have that sort of heart right now. Lord, we need to engage more with your word, and we need to go deeper, Lord God, into your word. I know we know, Lord God, this is something in this season that you have challenged us with, Lord God, and convicted us with. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to do this, Lord God. We need your strength right now, Lord God. You give power to those who are weary. You give strength to those who have no might. And, Lord, we ask right now that we would receive your strength, Lord God. We'd receive your power, Lord God. We'd receive this right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that we would be able to engage more with your word. Heavenly Father, that we'd be able to take more time out, Lord God, in your precious word, Lord God, that you have given us, Lord God. What a privilege to have these words inspired by your Holy Spirit right before us, Lord God, in such easy access. Lord, we thank you for this privilege, and we pray, Lord, that we don't take it for granted, but instead, Lord God, that we would engage more, Lord God, with the very words that you've given us, Lord God, that you've spoken. We know your words, Lord God, are so powerful. Your word says, Lord, your word is so sharp. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Heavenly Father, we know that your word, which you speak, never comes back to you void, Lord God. We know that your word, oh God, is so powerful. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, that we wouldn't just be studiers and memorizers of your word, but Lord, that we would be doers of your word as well. Lord, that when we look into this precious, these precious words that you've spoken, which are spirit and life, Jesus, that, Lord, that we would receive spirit and life from them, Lord God, and that we would, Lord, act upon them, that we would act upon them, Lord God, doing the very things you have told us to do, acting in the ways that you have told us to act, Lord God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we wouldn't just be people, oh God, who hear your words, Lord God, but don't do the very things that you tell us to do. Lord, as you say, those kind of people are people who build their houses on a sand as their foundation. But Lord God, you say that those who hear your word and are doers of them are those who are wise and build their houses upon rocks. Lord God, on a strong foundation, Father, help us to be like those as you have given these examples for our benefit, Lord God, to learn from. And I pray in Jesus' name that in this season, Lord God, as we have been hearing these words, Lord God, every week we've been hearing, Lord God, that we need to engage more in your word. We can understand, oh God, that you are speaking to us and this is something that you want. So help us to take this seriously, Father, and help us to put it into practice. Lord, we seek for your guidance and your leading and your guiding, Holy Spirit, throughout the rest of this week, Lord God, the rest of this month, that we would continue to put this into practice and that we would see, Lord God, as Brother Ephraim was speaking, Lord, he was saying that you know, when we desire and we want to hear from you, Lord God, and we just have that tender heart, Lord, that you're more than happy to speak. So, Lord, we just pray right now
for each and every soul in this place, Lord, for every single person, Lord God, that we would have tender hearts, just ready to receive and have a desire to hear from you. Lord, just have a desire to hear from you, Lord God. Lord, not to worry about what the world says, not to worry about what anyone says, but Lord God, to worry about what you have to say, Lord God, to be more concerned with the things that you say, oh God, to be more concerned with the things that you speak, oh God, to be more concerned about what your word says, Lord God. Lord, whether it's about our identity, whether it's about us, Lord God, or whether it's about how we should act, whether it's about whatever it might be, Lord, our relationships, let us get this guidance from you, Lord God. Lord, regardless what anyone else says. And Lord, I pray that as we hear from you, Lord God, that you would use us to influence others, Lord God. You'd use us to influence others, Lord God, when they would see the light in us, Lord God. They would see you, Christ Jesus, within us. As you speak to us, Lord God, that we'd be able to speak to others, Lord God, and you'd be able to speak through us. Heavenly Father, we ask all of this right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.